In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Flesh and blood cannot reveal this, but only the Father who is in heaven. Every time men confess the faith, every time you confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you do so by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can teach you who your first and true love is. He converts, he strengthens, he equips, he sustains. This is the work of the Spirit. He gives you a new heart and new desires. That's the miracle of Pentecost. The rushing winds and tongues of fire are merely a sign. They're not the main point. The main point is the 3,000 who were baptized that day. The main point is the 3,000 who became the temple, the very house of God Most High. The main point are the 3,000 who love Christ and who keep his word. The rushing winds, tongues of fire, and unlearned languages all have ceased. But this miracle of Pentecost continues even up to this very day. The Almighty God continues to intervene in human history. He calls you by the gospel, enlightened you with his gifts, sanctified and kept you in the true faith. How? By the gospel. By the forgiveness of sins found in word and in sacrament, the Holy Spirit comes and strengthens faith. Men continue to look for signs. They want something spectacular, either miraculous or some great acts of love. But no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah rested in the belly of the fish for 3 days, so the Son of Man rose on the third day. If men do not believe that sign, they will not believe even if we have tongues of fire dancing on our heads. But you do believe, so you are here. You love Christ, and so you keep his word. From little on, you were led into the presence of God. The Holy Spirit took your infant body and tore out your heart of stone and gave you a heart of flesh. From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. From infancy, the Holy Spirit has taught you the language of faith, and he has continued to teach you that faith right up to the present time. As your vocabulary increased, so did your faith and your knowledge of Scripture. You joyfully sit at the feet of Christ, listening to his word with eager hearts, learning that word of God. You attend to that one thing needful above all else, your first love, your only love. For where else can you go? Christ alone has the words of everlasting life. You come not because your parents brought you every Sunday, and not simply because it's Sunday morning and it's the thing to do. Fill in your time. But you come because you confess that you are a sinner. And here you find that Savior who gives his forgiveness. The Spirit is not interested in miraculous signs, but in the miracle of faith. He doesn't seek to entertain us with speculations about the future, but he seeks to draw our attention and mind back to that blood-soaked cross, the atoning death of the Son of God on Calvary. He teaches justification, that is, you are saved by Christ alone. You are declared not guilty by what Christ has done for you. He reconciles, he forgives, he takes away your sins. And when you sin 77 times, he's there yet again to forgive you once more. He takes that forgiveness of Christ and drops it in the word, drops it in bread and wine, drops it in the water. There you go. Christianity is really that simple. Hear the word, eat the supper, and pray. Larkin, many have sat where you sit. Many have confessed what you will soon confess. And sadly, many have also grown away from the Christian faith. It's no one's intention on their confirmation day to fall away, but it happens. It happens because Satan is good at what he does. He works slowly, People enter new phases of their life into adulthood, trying to figure out their place in society, how they can make ends meet, and figure out what life truly is and what all of this means. And so they're busy. They're busy with work and trying to earn a living, and so they don't attend to that one thing needful. They fail to gather with the Holy Church to eat His Holy Supper and to hear His Word. And so very quickly, worldly wisdom replaces godly wisdom. Faith slowly turns only into knowledge. And worldly love replaces our first and true love. If anyone loves me, God says, he will keep my word. St. Luke then writes about Pentecost that the Christians devoted themselves to the Word of God, to eating the supper, and to prayer. And so we devote ourselves to the Word of God, to eating the supper, and to prayer. It really is that simple. This has been our life since baptism. This is how the Spirit saves us. This is how He works faith and sustains faith in our heart. So tell me again that you are my Savior. Tell me again that Christ has done all things for me and that salvation is secure. Let me eat His forgiving body once more. Let His divine blood rush down my throat one more time, assuring me that I am His and He is mine. Christ is our first love, our only love. Far be it from us to stay away simply because we're busy. There's always another option. There's always another choice that could be made. This Holy Supper, this feast of immortality and love gives you God's forgiveness in a very unique way. God puts Himself inside of you. You are the temple of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the body and blood of Christ dwell in you. Now, to be sure, all baptized Christians are the temple of God. All have the forgiveness fully and completely. And yet this Holy Communion gives it to you in the most intimate of ways. For as you eat His body and drink His blood, it does not pass through you like a piece of food, but it unites His flesh to yours and His blood to yours. So He who runs the universe dwells in our organs, our limbs, our eyes to protect and defend us. We are one with God and God is one with us. He knows the dangers that we face every single day. He knows the temptations, the frustrations, the worry that beset us almost on a daily basis. So He gives us His peace through the forgiveness of sins. He knows how many guns Satan has pointed at us, ready to fire at a moment's notice. So He fortifies us with His Holy Supper. Oh, the boundless love of God that He would save you from sin, death, and hell. The boundless love of God that not only He would save you, but then He would make your body His eternal temple. Why you? And not so many of those other people you know. Why you? It's by grace. That undeserved love of God. So with your heart you believe and with your mouth you confess. Today, Larkin, you are asked to confess your first love. Not your parents, not your grandparents, not your siblings, your pets, not even, Lord willing, your future husband and children, but Christ, your first and only love. Do not be afraid. For flesh and blood did not teach you the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Spirit has instructed you. It's His word. It's His water in baptism. He is the one who removed your heart of stone and gave you a heart of flesh. He gave you new desires. He keeps Christ as your first love also. And He alone will be the one to carry you safely into His heaven. May God grant this to you and to us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.